Michael Nava is a third-generation Californian of Mexican descent. He is the grandson of immigrants and was born in Sacramento, California. He was the first person, just like me, in his family to attend college, and he has a BA in history and a law degree from Stanford University. He is most famously known for his Henry Rios mystery novels, which are essentially these novels about a gay lawyer in L.A., and it's kind of the noir type of aesthetic. But his latest book is called The City of Palaces, and it's takes place right before the Mexican Revolution in Mexico City, and we're going to talk to him about that today. Michael Nava, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Thank you, Daniel. Great to be here.
Now, you're a writer with eight novels, at least eight novels. Maybe there's even more. I lost count somewhere along the line. But you have a law degree from Stanford, and, you know, that's pretty impressive. A law degree from Stanford? How did that happen?
Well, when I graduated from college, I graduated with a degree in history, and I'd spent most of my 4 years in college smoking pot and writing poetry. So I graduated in the middle of a recession. I decided, I don't think I can make a living writing poetry.
Or smoking pot, for that matter.
Or smoking pot. So I looked around at what I could do with this degree, and I thought, like so many other humanities majors, law school. But I wasn't all that committed, so I only applied to three schools. I thought, if I don't get into one of these three schools, then, you know, it's a sign from the Virgen that I'm not supposed to be a lawyer. So I applied to Stanford, Harvard, and Berkeley. And Stanford accepted me right away.
Wow.
And Harvard put me on a wait list, and Bolt turned me down, which is why I have, you know, a lasting resentment against Berkeley. So that's how I ended up in law school, really. Truth be told, it was because I didn't have enough science for med school.
And you got a letter of recommendation from the Virgin herself. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I guess she wanted me to be a lawyer. And I have to say, as casually as I entered into the legal profession, you know, I've had a really wonderful and interesting career.
What kind of lawyer did you start off with, and where are you now? And then this is the third question to it. If you don't remember it, I'll get to it again. How the heck do you find time to write a novel?
Well, you know, in law school, I worked at private firms for the 2 summers between my second and third year classes, and before my second and third years, and I realized there was just no way as a queer Latino boy that I could survive in those all-male, upper-middle-class, white, elite echelons. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I can't do this. And so I went into public service. My first job out of law school was as a prosecutor in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. That must have been fascinating.
Oh, it was wonderful. And it's actually where I got a lot of material for the Rios books, including his name, came from all that experience. So, and from there, I did go to a private firm for a couple of years. I learned a lot. I didn't really like, again, I could not adjust to the expectations that firms have of their attorneys in terms of the hours you put in and just sort of the social reality. So I went to work for an African-American appellate judge in Los Angeles, and I spent the last 25 years as an appellate lawyer, mostly working for the California courts, and currently I work at the California Supreme Court. That's how I've already forgotten the second question.
That's okay, because I have a follow-up question now.
Sure.
You've been a lawyer. You've been working, and it sounds like your career is going in wonderful directions. I mean, what you're doing now. Well, tell us what you're doing now, and then I'll ask the question.
So I'm a staff attorney for the judges, and basically I write the preliminary drafts of their opinions. For people who are not familiar with the appellate process, when you hear about the United States Supreme Court issued an opinion in such and such a case, the opinion is a written document that sets forth what the law is, and those opinions are generally written by, you know, staff lawyers in collaboration with the justices. So that's what I do. I write these draft opinions, and I work with the judge, and then ultimately it's issued and becomes part of the law of the state of California.
Wow, that sounds like quite a, you know, a job where you actually have to think and work. How do you do that, yet you have time to write more novels than I've ever written in my life, and I'm, you know, more of a full-time writer with, you know, who teaches occasionally?
I tell people I have a Mexican work ethic because, you know, I came from laboring people, from working class people. Right. The men in my family, they work construction and in the canneries. So I'm just acclimated to hard work. And the other part of it is, you know, I mean, I'm not writing all the time. I take time off between novels. But when I am writing a novel, I just treat it like another job, which means I have a set period of time when this is what I do. And it's always the same time every day. And, you know, I don't have the luxury of waiting around for inspiration or just until I feel like it. I mean, this is like, yeah, this is my time to write, and I'm going to write.
We're talking to Michael Nava, whose latest book is called The City of Palaces, and we're going to get to that book in a second. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the Henry Rios novels, because maybe our listeners aren't aware of them. But this is a series of mystery novels about a gay Latino lawyer, and you've written how many of them?
So there were 7 in the series that were published between 1986 and 2000 when I wrote the last one.
You're like the John Grisham of the gay Chicano John Grisham.
I had a sort of more serious intention, I think, in writing these books than maybe John Grisham did.
Absolutely, because you can't really classify your stuff as pop fiction. It's not, even though there's a lot of plot, the fact is your fiction, and this is what I think marks good literary fiction, your fiction is driven by character and character need. Plot doesn't happen to them. They create plot based on their own perceptions.
Well, yes, that's true. And, you know, I never set out to be a mystery writer, but I deliberately chose the vehicle because what I wanted to write about was the experience of being an outsider, you know, specifically, you know, a gay man, a Latino guy. And the American noir novel, it really lends itself to that because, you know, in the works of people like Raymond Chandler, for example, your PI, he stands out of society. He's kind of looked on with contempt by society, and yet he's the one that they call upon to, you know, do their dirty work. Mm-hmm. And to me, that perfectly described the situation of a gay man in a straight society.
That's nice.
It was because it's an outsider form, and I was not the only, you know, person to realize this. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, you had like Walter Mosley, Sarah Paretsky, Lucha Corpi, all of these, you know, a feminist writer, a Latina writer, an African-American writer who made the same discovery I did, that the vehicle of the mystery is a very interesting way to explore issues of race and social justice and gender.
You write on your webpage, you have a webpage, MarcoNavaWriter.com, you write that you both began writing and realized you were gay at 12 years old. Very young, to realize and accept, and also that you began writing. What's the connection between those two? Is there?
Well, I mean, there is. 12 is puberty, so it wasn't really that unusual. I mean, I began to notice that, you know, the boys who I knew were starting to talk about their feelings for girls, and I thought, oh, I'm having the same feelings for you. But, I mean, this is 1966.
Wow.
So, obviously, there was no safe place for me to express this, so I turned to writing. I wrote in an essay that, you know, one reason I think I'm a writer is I'm filled with the words I could never express when I was a child.
Right. Let's talk about City of Palaces. This is quite different from the Henry Rios novels, isn't it?
It is in sort of every aspect except the underlying theme, which is still, I'm still writing about outsiders and issues of social justice and those themes which have preoccupied me since I was a child.
Tell us a little bit about the novel, how it came about, and it takes place in Mexico City, before the revolution in 1910. There must have been an incredible amount of research involved in this.
Well, the idea for what became, this is the first of 3 or 4 books, I haven't quite decided yet, but the idea came to me around 1995, and that's when the research started, and the research is ongoing, so it's been almost 20 years now. So my great-grandparents came up from Mexico during the revolution. They ended up in Sacramento. They were from the state of Guanajuato, and they had to leave because that was the scene of some of the heaviest fighting during the war. And yet it was, I knew almost nothing about the Revolution. It's as if, you know, an Irish-American knew nothing about the potato famine, or or a Jewish-American knew nothing about the pogroms that led his Russian ancestors to come here. And so one of my goals in writing The City of Palaces is just to recover that history for us Chicanos whose ancestors came here, because a million Mexicans emigrated. It was the first great wave of Mexican immigration. There were a million Mexicans came to this country from 1910 to 1928 as war refugees, basically. Mm-hmm. So I want to recover part of that history for us, and I also wanted to educate, you know, white readers who think that the Cinco de Mayo is Mexican Independence Day, right. That there is a rich, beautiful, and magnificent culture and history south of the border. You know, we're not just a simple race of gardeners and maids.
Right.
And so it's the fall of the Diaz dictatorship as seen through the eyes of this this family, this upper middle class family, and their child. And it covers, you know, the tumultuous events from Diaz's fall, Madero's election, and the coup that overthrew Madero, and then the civil war that broke out. And it's interesting, as I was writing about the collapse of the Diaz dictatorship, he'd been dictator for 40 years, about the mobs gathering in the Zocalo demanding his resignation, I was watching on TV the Egyptians in Tahrir Square, you know, demanding the resignation of their former president. And I thought, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But I think it has that kind of timeliness.
Right. You're a lawyer. You've been a lawyer for many years. I imagine was there a lot of research involved in this novel, City of Palaces?
It's tremendous research, and it is. I mean, I've always been a history nerd. I graduated with a degree in history.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, in fact, that's what I do at the court, is I spend my days researching, thinking, and writing. So
wow.
It wasn't that hard. But, you know, I had to recreate the world of Mexico City for myself before I could create it for the reader. And I had to know, I tell people 90% of the research doesn't appear in the pages, but it was necessary for me to know it so that I could write with confidence.
Right, right. And then there's that iceberg effect, right? What the reader sees is just the tip, but there's a big, giant glob of ice underneath what they're not seeing.
Right. And, I mean, one example I use is, you know, I had to learn, for example, that in the late 19th, early 20th century, you know, men didn't have zippers. They had buttons on their trousers because zippers hadn't been invented.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting detail, yeah.
And they didn't wear wristwatches because wristwatches were considered effeminate. That's why they wore pocket watches. Now, neither of those details makes it into the novel, but in order for me to imagine the male characters in the book, I had to see them as men with heavy pocket watches and buttons on their trousers.
It sounds like you can absorb yourself in research or in the imaginative world where you're in or whatever you're doing, and that's a tremendous gift and talent. And thanks for sharing it with our listeners. We're talking
sure.
to Michael Nava, and his latest book is The City of Palaces. Check it out. Michael, thank you for joining us on Words on a Wire.
Pleasure talking to you, Daniel.